chapter 2, back to the Old Testament, right after Judges. 2 weeks ago, I began this series. We were interrupted last week, and we'll pick it up this week with chapter 2 of Ruth. In chapter 1, we learned how the house of Elimelech had met with hardship, how he and his wife and two sons had gone down to Moab because there was famine in Judah. He dies, but his sons get married. There's a little bit of hope, but then his sons die as well. And so the three women are left. Naomi returns to Judah when she learns that the famine there had ended. She had not forgotten where she belonged. Orpah, one of her daughters-in-law, showed kindness, and Naomi thanked her, but she remained with her people and her gods. Ruth, though, demonstrated resolute kindness towards Naomi and faith in the God of Israel, and returns with her. So Ruth and Naomi return to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest, and that's where we left off at the end of chapter 1. So let me go ahead and read the first 7 verses of chapter 2. I'll eventually read the whole chapter, but let's start with the first 7 verses. Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers.' So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest." This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray for God's blessing upon his word. Dear Lord, we thank you for inspiring these words through your Spirit at work many generations ago. We pray that you would continue to work among your people today as we read and hear preached the second chapter of Ruth. We pray, Father, that you would direct us by your word and encourage us by it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So in this chapter, we're going to see first that Ruth shows kindness to Naomi by her diligent work. Then we'll find that Boaz shows kindness to Ruth by his generosity. And then finally, we'll find that God shows kindness to the house of Elimelech by orchestrating all these events. I thought it's possible I could have divided this chapter up into a couple sermons, but the parts all fit together very well, so I decided to cover it as a whole. We find kindness shown by Ruth, by Boaz, and by God. And the main point being to show kindness as your God shows kindness. And the word kindness there I'm using because that's the way it's translated here, but it's the word chesed, sometimes translated steadfast love or mercy or kindness or loving kindness. It's that idea of kindness or mercy, but it has the idea of faithfulness to it as well, or loyalty. Having taken refuge in the kindness of God, in his mercy, in his steadfast love, show the same kindness to others. We'll find that demonstrated in several ways. First, with the diligence of Ruth. Ruth has arrived. She doesn't wait for someone to ask her to do something. She doesn't wait for someone to drop by and say, "Oh, how can I help you, Ruth?" She takes the initiative. Children, that means that she does it without being asked. She goes ahead and takes action. She does so carefully. She asks her mother or mother-in-law, "Let me go out and glean for us, get some food for us." And Naomi says, "Go, my daughter, you may do so." She goes out into the field. What you should imagine here is that she goes out of the town of Bethlehem, out to this field outside the city, a very large field. And this field is divided up among various owners. They would often be divided perhaps by a stone, by a landmark, but not even with real defined fences. You just understand where the line is and sow the seeds all the way up to the edge. She happens to come across to the part of the field belonging to Boaz. And Boaz is even introduced into the first verse as someone who's going to be very important for this story. But she is out there in the field of Bethlehem then, into this particular plot of land that he owns. And it's during the barley harvest. His reapers are reaping, and she is gleaning, which means that she goes after the reapers have gone through to pick up anything that they forgot, anything that dropped to the ground that they did not pick up. What you should probably imagine here is some of the young men are out there cutting the stalks and bundling them up and then leaving them on the ground. And then the young women come after them and bind them up into sheaves and carry them away. And then after that come perhaps other gleaners, or at least Ruth, who's picking up what has been forgotten. Boaz then comes out to his young men and he greets the reapers in the name of the Lord. He inquires about this young woman. Whose young woman is she? In other words, I don't recognize hiring her. Is she a servant of someone else? Or the daughter of someone else? Or the wife of someone else? Who is she? And the overseer explains that she had come, she had made her request, she had asked, and she has continued except for a short rest. We find in this passage that Ruth remains faithful to Naomi. Last chapter, she made a wonderful profession, even an oath, that I will stick with you. Even past death, I will be buried where you are buried. I will be with you. And she continues to be faithful to what she has said she will do. She does not turn back. They're afflicted with poverty. They don't have a means for food besides this. And she remains faithful. We also find that Ruth works diligently. She works first by taking the initiative to find food for them, and then she shows courage, risking rejection. Notice that she says, I'll find food in someone's field that shows me favor. I'll ask. She recognizes that someone might chase her off, could reject her. But she risks that and shows courage, even though she's in a foreign land, a strange land. And then she continues at her work diligently, taking little rest. It's possible that what is translated here as except for a short rest could even be that she's made her dwelling here in the field and she's counted her home but little, is another way of possibly interpreting that. But you get the point either way. She's been diligently gleaning. It reminds us of a few verses from the book of Proverbs. And Proverbs 10, verse 5 says this of a son, but obviously in this case it's true of a daughter as well. It says, he who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame. But Ruth here is being a daughter who does not bring shame, who brings honor, who is helping her mother-in-law, who is being prudent to act because the barley harvest is beginning and the time is going to run out, and that is the day in which to gather food. Or we can think of Proverbs 31:27, speaking of the excellent woman, that she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. In this case, her household is her and her mother-in-law, but she's looking well to the ways, seeing that they are fed. Now, one of the provisions of God's law was this practice of gleaning. We find that in Deuteronomy 24, we read. You can also find that in Leviticus 19, verses 9 through 10. When they harvested their fields, God commanded that they leave anything they forgot for the stranger, for the fatherless, for the widow, for the people that would not have had lands or employment. And these people then could pick it up. The farmers were not supposed to go over their field or over their vineyard or over their orchard a second time to be especially efficient, but rather to let those in need gather up what remained. They were even supposed to leave some around the edges. Don't reap your field all the way up to the edges, but let that be for the poor. The poor then could use these gleanings certainly to eat for food, but if they had extra, they could even use that to sell or to trade for things that they needed. In this way, several things were achieved. First of all, the food was not wasted. Perhaps more importantly, the people who were without land or employment were supplied with food. And also diligence and responsibility on their part was encouraged. Ruth still needed to work. She was still helping her mother-in-law. Her mother-in-law was still looking to her daughter to help. Gleaning was hard work. It was actually harder than harvesting. Harvesting, you have lots of grain in front of you. With gleaning, you had to pick up here and there what remained. And that also proves the diligence of Ruth as she gathers. Notice also that Ruth asks to glean. She looks for someone who would show her favor, and she asks the overseer when she comes there. Even though God's law had said this should be something that is provided for. Rather than being demanding or presumptuous, she asks. And this shows, first of all, humility on her part, that she's still respectful and humble. It also shows some wise caution, because it was possible that some reapers and some owners would not obey God's command and could use violence to chase away gleaners. Don't get near my stuff. Go away. And could get harmed, could get oppressed or assaulted. And so she decides to ask to avoid that situation perhaps as well. Later, when she interacts with Boaz, she also will show honor to him, humility before him, and gratitude for his help. So before we go further, let's learn a few things from Ruth. You've also professed faith and godliness like Ruth, so be diligent and faithful like her as well. To all Christians, do not rest upon great professions that you have made. It's wonderful to see a profession of faith, as Ruth gave in chapter 1. But don't be content with the name and the identity of a believer. Follow through on it. Demonstrate your faith by your good works. We might also apply this to those who are in need. When you are in need, look out for pitfalls. Those who are in need, perhaps understandably, fall into these pitfalls, but they are still snares, such as despair, being paralyzed by the fears of what will happen, being absorbed in yourself and not thinking about others, like Ruth thinks of Naomi in her poverty, or dishonesty in attempts to get things in dishonest ways, or a feeling of entitlement that because I'm in need, you need to do what I tell you. Instead, to seek opportunities and to help. Ruth didn't wait for someone to come by and see how they could help. She takes the initiative and does what she can to find food, and to do so with humility, with a willingness to work, and with gratitude. As Ruth asked humbly, worked diligently, and responded gratefully. Also apply this to young men, young women. Do we have a few here? Use your strength to good purpose, especially for the sake of your parents, or for the sake of the elderly, or for the sake of those who are unable to work. Notice Naomi does not go out into the field. Was she simply too weak, too old, or too heartbroken at her condition? In any case, Ruth doesn't complain. She is more able-bodied, and she goes out to provide for her mother-in-law. One commentator says, young persons should be cheerfully willing to bear fatigues and troubles for the sake of their aged parents, that they may enjoy such ease as the infirmities of age require. Let those who are in the vigor of age, if their parents are feeble, remember what their mothers endured for them in infancy or in sickness, how they willingly suffered anxiety of mind, the want of sleep, and many fatigues of body, that their beloved offspring might enjoy pleasure or be relieved from distress. Well, Ruth herself was not raised by Naomi, but showing kindness to her husband, who had been, and taking care for Naomi, who was in that condition, made a return unto her, and caring for her, providing for her, even though she herself was a widow. Apply this also then to women. Ruth, like Ruth, avoid the snares of vanity or idleness, and instead adorn yourself with what is proper for women who profess godliness, as Paul says, with good works. That is how Ruth adorned herself. It's what people noticed. Like Ruth, do not wait until you are a wife and mother before demonstrating Proverbs 31. In the next chapter, Boaz is going to say she is an excellent woman, the same word used in Proverbs 31. But that character is already evident before she gets married or in her single state. She, of course, had been married, but in this condition, she shows diligence. She shows strength, attentiveness to the needs of her household, ministering to their needs and to the needs of others. Apply this also to single men, to those who may be seeking marriage, to keep an eye out for women who are like Ruth, who are faithful, who are diligent, who are humble. When later Ruth brings up the prospect of marriage, she is one whom Boaz highly values as a virtuous and excellent woman, partially because what we find in this chapter, in chapter 2. All right, let me go ahead and read then verses 8 through 16. As we find out what happens. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now, listen, my daughter, do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain. And she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also, pull out some from the bundles for her, and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." In this passage, we find Boaz particularly coming to light, remembering also what we read of him in the first 7 verses. Boaz shows generosity to Ruth. Boaz was actually first introduced in the first verse of the chapter, that he was a relative of Elimelech, of the clan of Elimelech, that he was, the ESV says, a worthy man. It's not the best translation. I think why they translate it that way is because that's how they translate the same word in describing Ruth, that she was a worthy woman. Because the term there, worthy man, is the term mighty man of valor. That's how it's usually translated in a military context, a mighty man of strength or of virtue. It is a little ambiguous in the first verse. What kind of valor are we talking about? And as the story unfolds, we find that he is mighty in valor or strength, in the strength of authority, that he has great authority over his household, and even later we'll find in the city gates, he carries weight. He's also mighty in wealth, that he is a landowner, one who is wealthy. He is also, though, mighty in virtue, that he is also strong in his moral character. And so he's a mighty man of valor in several ways. In verses 4 through 7, we find that he is godly in his normal manner of life. Before he approaches Ruth, he is introduced as one who blesses in the name of the Lord. That's how he greets his reapers. Is that how your employer at work greets you usually when he comes by and see how you're doing? The Lord be with you, and the Lord bless you. We get the impression right away of a household that is being run in the fear of the Lord. He also is going out to attend to his business. He has an overseer there to attend to his business, but he still takes a personal interest in it. As Proverbs 27 says, "Take heed of your flocks, know the condition of your herds. Wealth does not last forever, but if you take care of it and provide for it ahead of time, then you will be fed." I'm paraphrasing there, Proverbs 27. That attentiveness to his affairs is a good trait. He also apparently followed God's law concerning gleaning. The overseer had known to allow Ruth to glean in that field. We'll also find in verses 8 through 16, we find that he ruled his household well. He was able to keep it under control. When he told his young men not to touch Ruth, he could be confident that they would not touch her. When he directed them, they followed through. And then in particular, we find that Boaz was generous in his treatment of Ruth. He used his wealth to give Ruth a source of food and his power to give protection to her. He encouraged her to stay on his land. Why? Well, it would be in her interest to stay in his land. It will be a good place for you to glean here. He tells her to stay close to his young women. That way she would be somewhat included in that group, be less vulnerable, that she would also get better gleanings. She would be ahead of all the other gleaners, as she would be right next to the people who were taking up the stalks, the sheaves. He commanded the young men not to touch her. He invited her to drink the water that his men had drawn from the well, and then to join with them. Imagine this. Remember, she's a Moabite. Not only is she not part of his household and a stranger, but she's not even an Israelite, and she's being brought to eat with not only the workers, but Boaz himself, giving her food that has been cooked. And then he instructs his reapers to leave more than normal for her to glean. Take out some of those barley from those sheaves, those bundles, and leave them on the ground and let her have more than normal to pick up. So it's no surprise that Ruth asks, "Why do I find such favor in your eyes?" And he tells her, because of her kindness to Naomi and her faith in God, that the report about Ruth had come to him, and so he showed kindness to her. He did not hold her foreign birth against her, but regarded her as one who had taken refuge under their God and therefore was part of the people. He even describes her in terms of Abraham as one who had left his father, who had left his land to go to a place that he did not know, almost in the sense that my father was once a sojourner like you. He did the same thing for the sake of faith in God, and so showing the same kindness now to Ruth. He spoke kindly to her, that is literally speaking upon the heart, speaking reassuringly, giving encouragement, relieving her fears. So by action and by word, gives comfort and security to Ruth. So from this passage, learn to be godly and generous like Boaz, as he imitated the kindness of God. This is true for all Christians. As Jesus said, to be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Help those who are in need of help. Gleaning might not be something that we see day to day, mostly because most of us are not farmers, but it's not merely an ancient practice. People still need food, and food is still grown in the ground, and it's been practiced throughout history. God's people should still seek to provide and arrange for opportunities for those in need to glean. That would be one application. Christians should also look out for those who are vulnerable. The stranger, the fatherless, the widow, protecting them from mistreatment, giving them opportunities and help. As Deuteronomy 10 says, the Lord administers justice for the fatherless and the widow, and loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. Therefore, love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. God shows care for them, and therefore you should as well, as children of him. In addition to that, give special and honor and care for those who trust the Lord, as the Lord honors and cares for those, especially, who trust in him. He shows mercy to the good and the bad, so we should as well, but especially to those of the household of faith, as Boaz honored Ruth for her godliness and her faith. Psalm 15 describes the righteous man as he who honors those who fear the Lord. Or as Paul writes in Galatians, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially of those who are of the household of faith. Remember also that the people of God is composed of people from all nationalities and ethnicities. If so in the days of Boaz, how much more today? He could recognize a Moabite convert being a member of the people of God when the people of God was primarily limited to the nation of Israel. How much more today? This applies also to those who have more relative authority or wealth or privilege. It's not evil to be a mighty man, as Boaz was. It can prove a snare. Do not love your power or trust in your wealth, but use your power, your money, your influence, your authority to do good. Now, some people would look upon those very things with suspicion as perhaps even an injustice itself. But Boaz is one who is a mighty man, who is a wealthy man, but uses that to prevent injustice. As Boaz prevented Ruth from being harmed, use your power to prevent others from being harmed or wronged, and to assist those who have been wronged to find justice. As Boaz permitted gleaning, and then especially helped Ruth, so help those in need. As Paul says, charge the rich to be generous and ready to share. Boaz is an example of a mighty man who used his power to establish a haven of piety and security in what was a pretty wild world. He was not haughty. He took an interest in his servants and in the lowly Moabite that was in his field. Job is another example of a rich man who did this. As Job 29 explains, he was a rich man that maintained his honor and position such that even the aged would stand up in his presence as he walked into the room. But he used his position to be eyes to the blind, feet to the lame, father to the needy, searching out the cause of oppressed strangers, forcing bullies to cease their oppression, causing them to drop their prey from their teeth. This also applies to men in particular, to rule your household in this way, like Boaz. Even if you don't think of yourself as a rich man, use what strength and authority you have in the same way to establish a haven of piety and security around you. Like Boaz, attend to your household and its affairs. Not let them get out of hand. To bless like Boaz, to use blessings like the Lord be with you, and also with you. That actually sounded pretty familiar, right? Not only in church. Maintain the fear of the Lord in it, keeping his ways and worshiping him. If so, in the fields, how much more at home, practicing family worship. Oversee the people and work of your household, to keep it in order, to maintain your authority so that people listen to you. How? By respectable behavior, so that's you can prevent its members from hurting others, as Boaz did. To show hospitality, as Boaz showed kindness to Ruth and spoke kindly to Ruth, to also speak kindly to those who need encouragement. Speak kindly to your wife, to your children, and to the stranger. Now, most of us don't have lots of servants, or any. Most of us are not quite in the same condition as Boaz. We still might have people that do work for us in different ways. But these practices also apply if you exercise authority or management outside the home. You might have a household that's more like a business, but if you are the head, if you are the one responsible, to practice same principles as we find Scripture speaking of household management. Sometimes those activities have simply been outsourced to a business, and they would apply there as well, to the extent that you have that power or influence. Let's finish the chapter then. We find the diligence of Ruth, and that's how she showed kindness, steadfast love to Naomi. We see the generosity of Boaz, and that's how he shows kindness, this mercy to Ruth. And so let's conclude in verses 17 through 23. So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I worked today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." And Ruth the Moabite said, "Besides, he said to me, 'You shall keep close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted." So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvests, and she lived with her mother-in-law. So Ruth beats out the grain, so she separates the grain from the stalks and from the shells and the hulls, so that she's able to bring it home more efficiently, among other things. And it still ends up being an ephah, even being beaten out. And that is about 29 pounds of barley. That's a lot of barley for gleaning. Usually you would not get that much barley in a day gleaning. It shows, first of all, the diligence of Ruth, that she had gleaned that much and is carrying all of that back, but also showing the generosity of Boaz. And that's what Naomi notices. Wow, someone really showed you a lot of favor, seeing all that she brought back. And on top of that, Ruth saved some of her food from the meal, the roasted grain. And so she gives that so that Naomi can eat something right then and there. So she had certainly found favor with someone, such a successful day of gleaning. And what was his name? Boaz. Now Naomi sees a greater work of providence in this meeting. Earlier, the narrator, the writer, had simply said that Ruth had happened upon the part of the field that belonged to Boaz. But we find here that even though Ruth did not intend to meet Boaz, Boaz did not even intend to meet Ruth, yet someone intended that they meet, as Naomi remarks that the Lord's kindness had not forsaken the living and the dead, that the Lord had been behind this and had blessed them, had showed kindness to them through the kindness of Boaz. And so she prays for God's blessing upon Boaz. And Naomi perceives a twofold blessing in Ruth's encounter with Boaz. Two good things. First of all, Boaz was a close relative of theirs, one of their redeemers. What does that mean? Now, that word, sometimes translated redeemer or kinsman redeemer, is the Hebrew word goel. It refers to a guardian of the extended family, one who would perform the duty of a kinsman. This could include redeeming a family member from bondage by paying a certain amount of money, or redeeming his land or property which had been sold outside the clan, or by marrying a kinsman's childless widow, or seeking justice for a family member, a murdered family member, or a family member that's been wronged in some other way. Someone who would look out for the family's interests and be a guardian of them. And so it was a good sign that Boaz was so favorable to Ruth, because they might look to him for other help as well. This also sets us up for the next chapter. Additionally, there is the blessing in the moment that Boaz had shown generosity and given protection so that they could be fed, and throughout the harvests, Ruth would have protection and would be able to make the most of the Lord's blessing that he had shown the people of Bethlehem by giving them a rich harvest. And so she continues with the women of Boaz until the end, not only of the barley harvest, but also the wheat harvest, which takes us about from the time of Passover to about the time of the Feast of Weeks. So learn from not only from Ruth and from Boaz, but learn from Naomi to be thankful to God, to perceive his hand of providence in the blessings that you receive. Gratefully notice his hand of providence, to acknowledge the kindness of God and to give thanks to him, and to trust in the kindness of the Lord, the steadfast love of the Lord. He will not leave or forsake those who trust in him. He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in steadfast love. So in chapter 2 of Ruth, we find that Ruth shows Naomi kindness by her diligent work. We find that Boaz shows kindness to Ruth by his generosity. And we find that God shows kindness to the house of Elimelech by orchestrating all these events. There is more to come. Ruth is still living with her mother-in-law. We'll pick up next week in chapter 3. But in the meantime, learn to show kindness, to imitate the ways of your God who shows kindness. Having taken refuge in his kindness, show the same kindness to others with diligence, with generosity. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your mercy that you show us, that we can take refuge under your wings, that you protect us against harm and against everlasting death, even from judgment, that you have provided for us salvation. We pray that you would protect us and help us to imitate your kindness as those who are children taking off after you. We pray that you would bless your people, provide for our daily needs, provide for our daily bread, a competent portion of the things of this life, and that we might be a help to one another. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.